good morning, everyone. It is good to be here, and there are a lot of firsts. One of the firsts I was thinking about was me being grateful for technology. That's a first. And then a whole lot of other things other than that. But you know, as I was, as we keep mentioning, you know, there's six of us here today. I just want to remind us that are in this room today, even Joel, as you were singing that song, there's nine of us, right? We have the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit right here in our midst. And you know, this morning as Jen and I were just praying and talking and thinking this morning, this is unusual times. This is different stuff. But one thing that's not different is God's mercies. They're fresh and anew every day. And as the sun was rising this morning, I was just contemplating and you know, that little song came to my mind. I won't sing it to you, but this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad in it, no matter what he sends down the road to us. So I see us here today is really at an anointed and appointed time for us to be in this psalm. We're going to be in Psalm 119, and we're going to be in part three of a series called Do You Want to Be Transformed? So we'll open our Bibles and we'll flip over to Psalm 119, and we're going to start off today at verse 63. But before we do that, I just wanted to mention, you know, it's already been said by Pastor Mike and Pastor Joel that we had no idea we would find ourselves here today. Absolutely no idea. Here we are, you know, worldwide pandemic, economic potential crashing, you know, big trials. There's no doubt about it. But I tell you what, whether the trials are big or whether the trials are small, the answer is still the same. The answer is to lean heavily on the Word of God. Amen? You know, that's our call. That's been my war cry since the day I got saved, to trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not on my own understanding, and to acknowledge him in everything that I do, and know that he's going to direct my path. He's going to direct our path, you know. So I'm not going to lean on my own understanding during this time. You know, I look back and I realize, you know, my best thinking, my best thinking and my own understanding and my choices in life got me into so many troubles. I won't even go, I'll share all that list of stuff that my own understanding, my best thinking got me into. But I do know is that when I got saved, I still have trials. They didn't go away, right? And I have a good friend and a mentor who constantly through it all says to me when I come to him with different problems and trials, he says, you know, Tim, you just need to walk with God. You just need to walk with God. And so that's what I intend to do through this. And that's what we intend to continue to help you do. And that's my plan. That's my plan. Well, you know, here today we find ourselves in a section of this psalm known as the affliction section. Pretty fitting, huh? Yeah, I know. And I've been reading through this psalm here today. And really just kind of pouring over it all week. And you know, and one of the things I noticed here is that in this section, the word affliction or an actual affliction described is 15 times in six strophes. That's pretty heavy duty. This is the kind of a section where, I mean, all through Psalm 119, the psalmist is pouring out his heart to God, but we really see it kind of condensed into pouring out his heart to God in the midst of afflictions. And you know what? Thinking about it, afflictions, I really come to understand, come from three places. They're either self-inflicted, or they come from God, or from the enemy. But no matter where the afflictions come from, no matter where they come from, there's really only one response. And that's my hope today, that we'll find out what that desired outcome through afflictions is. Just by way of a light review, because I'm sure that some of you haven't been with us the whole time, we've been going through this Psalm 119 and just kind of titling each section and pulling out of it what the Word of God produces. For example, in verse 1 through 8, the Word of God produces obedience. In verses 9 through 16, it produces purity of heart. In verses 17 through 24, we saw that the Word of God produces spiritual illumination. And in verses 25 through 32, that it produces humility. The Word of God also produces revival, verses 31 through 40, and the Word of God produces faith, verses 41 through 48. The last couple that Pastor Trent led us through was the Word of God, it's producing comfort in affliction, verses 49 through 56, and it produces a praying heart, 57, verse 57 through 64. And that's really where we left off. And speaking of a praying heart, why don't we go ahead and do that now before we dive into God's Word? Won't you pray with me? Father, thank you so much that we are here today, Lord. Thank you so much for, even as already been mentioned, your mercies, that they're fresh and anew every day. Thank you, Lord, that we are still able to be here and able to equip people to be passionate servants of you, Father. And that's what we want to do through it all, Lord. We want to go ahead and just continue charging forward, looking unto you, Lord, looking to see what you have for us in this time, and looking to so let our lights shine that the world would see our good works and that they would glorify you in the midst of all this. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We pray you speak through your word to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, our first strophe today is verses 65 through 72, and I've titled this one, The Word of God Produces Good Fruit in Affliction. The Word of God produces good fruit in affliction. So he says here, you have dealt well, starting in verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged lies against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Wow. What a powerful section in God's word here. The psalmist, he's asking in verse 66, he's asking for the Lord to teach him good judgment and knowledge, knowing that it's God only that can teach us those things. It's only God. Where else would we want to get our knowledge and our judgment from? From the Lord. Verse 67, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And boy, isn't that how it is? Sometimes it seems like that. And wherever the affliction comes from, it always helps us to get back on track if we're walking with God, if we're clinging to his word. It helps us to get back on track. When we get into a train wreck and we go through hard times, somehow it's like touching that stove and you're like, ow, oh, okay, not going to do that anymore. Lord, what should I do? And we cling back to God's word. And really, that's what the psalmist is saying here. He goes on to say, I love verse 68 where he says, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. I remember that song, Good, Good Father, right? I almost wanted you to play that this morning, but the songs you did play were just completely awesome. Thanks for that, Joel. The good, good father, you know, he's so good to us. And remember the rich young ruler or the young man that came to Jesus and said, good teacher. And Jesus stopped him and said, why do you call me good, right? And he said, well, Jesus said what? There's no one good but God. God is so good. God is so good, my friends. Let's not lose sight of that in this time, right? Let's not lose sight of that. Verse 69, he says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. You know, I don't know if you've ever had anybody tell lies about you and slander and gossip, but it's extremely, extremely painful. I had that experience in my life where somebody very close to me told a whole bunch of lies and just spread a whole bunch of slander and really heinous, heinous things. Like my friends were like, whoa, dude, this is absolutely crazy. But through it all, that friend of mine, he kept telling me, just walk with God. And all my friends just continued to encourage me, just hang on to God's word. And that's really what the psalmist is saying here. He says, they've forged lies against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. I will keep my precepts with your whole heart. I have one job, not to pound on the pulpit. I'm doing it right now. Hopefully that's not messing up our sound. But anyways, so that's really, I can totally identify with the psalmist inside of that. I can totally identify with him. Verse 71 and 72 say this, "It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." And I was looking at this, I'm like, what? Is he crazy? It's good for me that I've been afflicted? You know, that's typically not my response. I mean, that's I'll be honest, that's never my response in affliction, right? All this is good for me. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? And it's because the affliction has brought a lesson, right? He says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Well, the next why question there for me is, why is that good? Why is it good to be afflicted? Okay, so I learned your statutes, but why is that good? And that's because God's statutes will hold us through everything, right? God's statutes will hold us through everything. The Word of God is going to continue to ground us inside of everything. Look at how valuable the psalmist says God's Word is. He says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." That's a lot of value, my friends. That's a whole lot of value. You know, and maybe as we go through this affliction that we're currently in as a world, I was going to say as a nation, but really as a world, maybe we'll see the value in God's Word, to where we can join in with the psalmist and say it's more valuable than anything to us right now. And I know that's one of the reasons that why we as a church are continuing to get the Word out there. As Joel had mentioned, we want to continue to equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ. And the only way that we know that, the heartbeat of us, the only way that we know how to do that is by to continue to teach the Word. That's why we're doing all this live streaming and all these videos and all that kind of stuff, because we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. So, well, our next strophe is verses 73 through 80, and let me just read it to us. But I've titled this strophe, "The Word of God Produces a Shameless and Attractive Life." The Word of God produces a shameless and attractive life. Verse 73, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may lean on your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be my comfort according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treat me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed." So here in this psalm, first of all, this strophe, he starts out right on the right foot, if you will. He says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me." Starting out with that understanding, it brings me back to a Psalm 139, not back to, forward to, but it brings to my mind Psalm 139, where David said pretty much the same thing, right? He says, "You formed my inward parts." In Psalm 139, verse 13, "You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You saw my substance before being yet unformed. And in your book they were written, the days fashioned before me, as yet there were none before me." So the psalmist realizes back in our psalm here in 119, he realizes that it's God who made him. It's God who created him. And so he's asking God for understanding. There's nothing like going to the Creator. We always go to the owner's manual, right? Whenever we want to learn how to operate something, and God, he's the owner. He's the creator of our lives. He knows how to have us navigate this time. He knows how to get us through these things. So verse 74 says, "Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word." That attractive life that I was talking about, you know, we've all experienced it when we run into somebody and we're like, we're talking to them and we're like, bet that dude or that girl, I bet they're a believer, because you're just kindred spirits with them, right? And you can just tell, they're just refreshed by being around another believer. so, so important, that attractive life that God's words brings into our life. He says, I know that your judgments are right, and in all faithfulness you have afflicted me. In times when we're afflicted by God, we can be sure of one thing, and we need to remember this, that his judgments are right, and his afflictions are in faithfulness. You know, to those who know him, we need to remember any time that we're corrected or chastened or afflicted, that God's got our best purpose in mind. And those who don't know God, I mean, I know many afflictions that I can see looking back, he had used to bring me to him. Those afflictions that he used to narrow my path, to get me to a place where I had really nowhere else to look but up. And I had to come to that place of beaten into a reasonable sense of submission, is what I talk about, as I kept bumping my head against things and running into problems. Well, anyways, he says in verse 78, he says, let the proud be ashamed, for they treat me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. I love that word, but I will meditate on your precepts. No matter how anybody else acts, I'm going to continue to meditate on your precepts. I'm going to continue to look to you. In verse 80, he says, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. You know, I look back at all the things that I'm ashamed of. I look back at all the dumb mistakes that I've made. And then I look back at all the times that I've chosen to walk with God, and I've chosen to follow his word. And never once have, when I'd done something that was according to God's word, never once have I been ashamed. It was hard. There were times, especially through that trial I was talking about, where I didn't necessarily want to follow God's word. I wanted to do some things that my flesh wanted me to do. But I look back, and I am not the slightest bit ashamed of following God's word, following God's commandments. Just a beautiful thing. Well, our next strophe here, and I know I'm kind of rocketing through it. We're trying to cover some ground here today and make sure that we don't get, I guess, cut off by our Mevo feed or whatever. But our next strophe is verses 81 through 88. It says, the word of God, I've titled this, the word of God produces perseverance. This is a heavy section. Let me read it to us. Starts out in verse 81. He says, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like wineskin and smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Like I said, such a heavy, heavy section. So many struggles, so many challenges and afflictions here. In verse 81, he says, my soul faints for your salvation. Really, actually, literally translated, I anxiously wait for you to save me, Lord. I anxiously wait for you to save me. And inside of that, he says, But I hope in your word, even though all that anxiety and all, and that's really, I think, a sweet word for us in this time, as we're maybe anxious over the things that are going on, anxious over our family's health, our health, our finances, the ability to work or not work, the ability to get toilet paper, for crying out loud, all of these things that can get us all wrapped up and all anxious. But what does the psalmist say? But I hope in your word. He goes on to say, my eyes fail from searching your word. Man, he's just combing through God's word. And really, I know it's been said probably every, I almost said podcast, whatever this is we're doing, every live stream that we're doing, it's probably been said, and we're going to keep saying it. Man, use this time. Use this time, family. Use this time. Even those of you who don't know the Lord, you've got extra time on your hands. Maybe you've tuned in here today. Start to read his word. Start to see what he has to say to us. And those of us who do know him, man, let's be in that place that the psalmist is in, where Charles Spurgeon says this about verse 82. He says, his eyes gave out, the psalmist's eyes gave out with eagerly gazing for the kind appearance of the Lord. while his heart in weariness cried out for speedy comfort. Wow, just solid, solid stuff there. You know, comfort that comes from knowing God and his word. He says in verse 83, I've become like wineskin and smoke. Not a term we use every day, right? I'm like, what does that mean? So I went ahead and looked into that a little bit more. And apparently wineskin is usually like made out of goat skin or whatever, and they would hang it from the ceiling. And sometimes the fire in the house, the smoke would go up and it would just dry it up and get it all crispy and crunchy, and it'd be good for absolutely nothing. And I don't know if you've ever felt crispy and crunchy and good for absolutely nothing, but I know I have. I know I have a lot. And he says, even though I feel this way, even though I became like wineskin and smoke, look again, there's a yet. Yet I do not forget your statutes. I don't forget your statutes. Man, that's the thing. Just continue to have God's word so, so inside of us. Well, he says in verse 86, they persecute me wrongfully. I love those two words right after that. Help me. Help me. Psalmist, he doesn't think he has it down. He knows that he needs God's help. And I know that we do too. And continue to cry out to the Lord for help. He certainly will. He goes on and says in verse 87, they almost made an end of me, but, there's another one, but I did not forsake your precepts. Verse 88, I want to camp on for a minute. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Through it all, in the midst of some really, really heavy trials, soul fainting, eyes failing, feeling like wineskin and smoke, all dried up and useless, through it all, even questioning the number of his days, almost wiped off the earth, through it all, he's going through all this, yet he prays for revival. He prays for revival. He longs to be revived. Why? It says right there, so that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Like, wow. I mean, that blew me right out of the water when I got to looking into that, got to thinking about that. How convicting. Not usually how I pray in the midst of trials. I'm not praying for revival in the midst of a trial so that I may keep God's word. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm usually praying, well, you guys know, you're with me all the time. When I go through stuff, I'm like, Lord, get me out of this. Make it stop. Please, you know, make it go away. You know, it's not until after I break my sippy cup off on my high chair because I'm banging it so hard that I actually pause and say, okay, Lord, I actually submit to what I'm going through, whatever that trial is, knowing that he's got a perfect plan and a perfect purpose inside of it. I like I said, I hate to admit it, especially on, you know, live TV. Where are we? Streaming. I hate to admit it, but I don't know if I've ever prayed for revival in the midst of a trial. I never revive me, Lord. I'm gonna start doing that. Now I have to because y'all are hearing me say it. So, anyways, our next trophy, verses 89 through 96, the Word of God produces a steadfast hope. The Word of God produces steadfast hope. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in the heavens. Yeah, can we just pause there for a minute? Right? Just hold everything. Shut it down for a minute. Forever, God. Forever. Your word is settled in the heavens. Man, that has that permanency, that eminency of God and his word. He's 100% in control, my friends. He created everything, and everything is in his control, and he has a perfect plan. He's not up in heaven right now just wringing his hands worried about this COVID-19 or the economy or any of that. He's not fretting back and forth wondering what he's going to do to get toilet paper into our homes or how he's going to get food onto the shelves or any of those very important things. I don't mean to make light of it, but God's not fretting right now. God's not fretting. He has a plan and a purpose inside of all this. I don't begin to tell you what that is. I don't know the things of God. I know some things. I know what to do. I know what to do, and hopefully we're hearing that today. Cling to the Word of God. Do what God's Word says to do, and just He's going to see us through this. Well, he goes on, and he says in 92, unless your law had been my delight, then I would have perished in my afflictions. I will never forget your precepts. By them you have given me life. You hear that hope? You hear that refreshment? You hear that he's not worried about that. He's just going to cling to God's word. He says in 94, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The psalmist asked God to save him from his enemies here. He says, he's basing this request on the assurance that he knows that he's God's, right? He says, Lord, I'm yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. You know, as I was reading this, I thought of a story that I heard Pastor Chuck say. Some of you may be familiar with it, but it's way back in the early days of Calvary Chapel. And as he's driving around the property there and fretting over how this whole thing is going, they just took a big loan out and all this stuff, and this whole thing's going to go right into the ground. He's totally worried, he's totally stressed, and he's kind of wrestling with God over it, how he's leading all these people into this financial ruin by going out on this limb. And he said that God reminded him, hey, Chuck, whose church is this anyways? And he said, well, he had to say to the Lord, it's your church, Lord. And then God spoke to his heart and said, well, then whose problem is this? Well, it's your problem, Lord. And I know one thing that's helped me through so many periods in my life. You know, when I realize that I am bought and paid for 100% by the blood of Christ. I am God's property. I belong to him. And no matter what trial I go through, no matter what problem I have, and I don't mean this to be smug or cavalier, and I certainly don't go out testing God, creating more problems than, well, I do create problems, but not to test him. Anyways, the point is that my problems are his problems. Our problems are his problems if we belong to him. And that really, that's what the psalmist is saying here. He says, save me. I'm yours. They're trying to kill me. I need you to save me, Lord. So that steadfast hope in the Lord. Our next strophe is verses 97 through 107. And I've titled this one, The Word of God Produces a Shameless and Attractive Life. Shameless and attractive life. Let me read it. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Love this section. I've probably said that a whole bunch here tonight, today. Love the word of God, period. Verse 97, I can't read this verse without thinking about what Psalm 1 said, right? He says here in verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day, right? What does Psalm 1 say about the person that meditates on the Word of God? Right? It should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Firm, planted, well. So much wisdom from God's Word here. He says, through your commandments, they make me wiser than my enemy. He says in 99, I have more understanding than my teachers. He says in verse 100, I understand more than the ancients. You know, God's word brings us so much understanding, so much insight, so much wisdom. And in a world where there's a lot of advice flying around right now, we can outsmart all the advice givers and all the best recommendations out there by just listening to what God's word has to say to us. You know, I was there was a time in my career working in a chemical dependency treatment center where I had a guy, more than once this kind of thing happened to me, but this one I thought of when I was looking at this text. I had a guy that had huge anger problems, hated God, hated everybody, always fighting with his girlfriend. I mean, just like crazy ballistic angry guy. And I was trying to work with him through this and trying to help him. And one day I said, you know, I just dropped James 1:19 on him. I said, you know what? And I'll leave his name out of it. I said, you know what? Why don't you just try to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to get angry? And it hit him like a lightning bolt. He's like, huh? And he wrote it down. And he come back like 3 days later, and he's like, you know what, that works. And it completely rocked his world, completely changed his life. And here's a God-hating, just angry, aggro guy. And he's like, he thought I was a genius. So I said, well, you know where that came from, right? He hadn't wanted to hear anything about the Lord up until this point. He says, where? I'm like, it came from the Word of God. The happy ending of that, well, I don't know where he's at today. I hope you're still walking with God. But the end of that story is through his time there, through the wisdom displayed in God's word, he come to know the Lord and come to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The thing is we don't have to, what's God's word say about wisdom? If we need wisdom, what? We ask him and he gives it to us liberally and without reproof. That's God's promise. That's God's promise. We can run circles around the wisest person, you know? Well, let me see here. In verse 100, he says, I have restrained my feet. 101, I'm sorry. He says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. He says, Lord, you're my teacher, and I've kept your way. You're the one that's taught me. In verse 103, he says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Well, you got to know this verse. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm pretty crazy about sweets. I got a serious sugar issue. So I was like, wow, well, even if I didn't, the psalmist is making one heck of a statement here. He's saying, Lord, that your words are sweet to his taste, sweeter than the most sweetest thing ever. Sweeter than anything known to man at that time, you know? And he goes on, he says, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Funny thing happens to us when we study God's word, when we start to dive into his word, when we stay plugged into it. It's brought him to a place of understanding and can bring us to that place too. An understanding that leads us away from falsehood. We lose our hunger. We lose our appetite for things that are not of God, and we start to get an appetite for things that are of God. It's kind of like the analogy I thought of is when you only eat healthy food. It's just what I heard. I don't know much about this, but it's when you only eat healthy food, you really start to dislike junk food. That's what they say, right? Right, Mike? I don't know. But, well, anyways, this analogy is going to break down. You get my point. If we just stay in God's word, it creates an appetite for good stuff. It creates an appetite for the things of him. Well, our last strophe here is verses 105 through 112. The word of God produces a clear path. Your word, O Lord, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid snares for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Verse 111, for your testimony I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. The word of God, it produces clarity. It gives us a clear path. Verse 105, it's probably the most well-known verse in the whole psalm and really speaks of that lamp and that light that expresses the blessings of God and the guidance of God and that are provided by his word. You know, a lamp to my feet, right? Lights up the path that we're on, gives us a clear path to to go down. Verse 107 says, I am afflicted very much. Revive me according to your word. Again, notice he's praying for revival in the midst of affliction. And that's really where I'm at. That's where I would pray that we all are, is that we begin, obviously there's tons of stuff to be praying for, but that we would pray that God would revive our hearts in the midst of this. I think, Joel, you even said that during our pastor's roundtable. Good word, brother. Yeah, that we would be praying that God would bring through all of this a revival. He has a way of doing that in the midst of afflictions. Now, verse 108, accept, I pray, the freewill offering of my mouth. Convicted by that too. This has just been a very convicting study for me. And really what the psalmist is speaking of there is Lord, that you would receive, the NIV translates it this way, receive the willing praises of my mouth. The NEB says the willing tribute of my lips. Lord, that you would receive these praises from my mouth. That's a good prayer to pray before we worship, right? Makes us think a little bit more about what we're singing and what we're saying. Well, let's key in on the yets here as we move on. It says in verse 109, my life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. I mean, the guy's life is in danger here, and what he's thinking about is God's word. Oh, I want that to be me. I want that to be you. That's why, again, we're continuing to just do everything we can to teach God's word, to have it be just so permanent in our minds that no matter what is distracting us, no matter what's going on in life, we can focus on the yets. Yet I will not stray from your precepts. Yet I will do not forget your law. Well, in verse 12, and I'll bring it to a close here, he says, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes, Lord, forever and to the very end. And I believe that this is definitely birthed out of the fact of in verse 111, he says, I have taken your testimonies, I have taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. Inclining my heart to perform your statutes forever and ever. We have to make an intentional choice here to incline our hearts to follow God's word. You know, in the midst of all of the panic, in the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of all of the uncertainty, one thing is for sure and one thing is certain, that is the word of God. Those of us who know the Lord, who have that comfort and that peace and that surety in Jesus Christ, it's easy for us to say sometimes, oh, don't worry, don't worry. But there's a whole world out there that is panicking, and even believers are fretting and worrying. Well, today I hope that I've been able to bring our response back into the Word of God. That's our response. That's what we want to do. We want to cling on to the Word of God. But we also want to send a clear message to everybody who's out there who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of people right now that are considering their mortality. And a lot of people are considering, you know, their life and what's going to happen to them. But, you know, the reality of it is none of us get off this rock alive, right? 100% of us go out feet first, as I forget who said that, but that's the reality of it. And not to make light of that, but we're all going to stand before the Lord someday. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ know that we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to have Jesus Christ's blood that's covered our sins and forgiving us for everything that we've ever done, every sin we've ever made. And we're going to be, the righteous judge is going to stand and declare us not guilty, not guilty. But we want that for everybody. If you're out there and you've never come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, if you don't even know what that means, like Pastor Mike said, give us a call. I'd love to just talk through that with you. It's easy for somebody to say to me, what must I do to be saved? And I'm like, oh yeah, well, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to unpack that for you. But the reality of it is that we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. It's not it's a gift of God's. And Romans tells us that the just shall live by faith, right? So we put our faith in this gift that God has given us through his son, Jesus Christ, and the atonement of our sins and bringing us into right relationship with him. I know I might be using a bunch of language that you don't understand, but the bottom line is if you want to be certain, if you want to be certain that you're going to be going to heaven when you die, there's no certainty for you apart from Christ. Matter of fact, we know what the story is there. The reality of it is that you must put your faith in Jesus Christ. You must repent, believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. So let's pray, and we hope that you will contact us if you're an individual that is in that spot today and saying, wow, these guys have a lot of hope. These guys have a lot of trust. It's a living hope. It's a living trust in the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this time in your word, Lord. And as we consider those out there that